If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Don't you always want to be the best you can be?
The Frankie Boyer Show.
What is this?
It's more than a lifestyle show.
It's a show about living in today's world.
I think something is happening.
Frankie enthusiastically brings an amazing eclectic mix to the airwaves.
You got that right.
One of the reasons she's earned legions of loyal fans is very simple. When you listen to the Frankie Boyer Show, you just never know what's going to happen next.
So listen for yourself.
Here is Frankie Boyer.
And welcome. It is so nice to have you with us right here on Biz Talk Radio. Well, our first guest is known as one of the world's leading experts on business networking. Dr. Ivan Meisner is with us today, New York Times bestselling author and founder of BNI.com, which is the largest business networking organization. And we are so thrilled to have him with us today. And, Doctor, it's a pleasure. Welcome back.
Hey, Frankie. Thank you so much. It's great to be on the show.
So you say the scenario is that we, first of all, without networking, you really cannot continue to stay in business. It's so, especially in this day and age with social media and all of that. But tell us what we're missing, the pieces we're missing about networking.
So I think all too often we use networking as a face-to-face cold calling opportunity. Business people, you know, they're going out and they just want to sell to other people, and that's a huge mistake. And, you know, I see a lot of different people out there doing it wrong. And one of the reasons for it is that we're not taught how to do this in colleges and universities anywhere in the world. When you go out and if you're trying so hard to get business that you come across as desperate, desperation's not referable. People don't want to refer someone for business when they're coming across way too desperate.
Yes, it's true in any situation. You know,
That's correct.
There's a scent that you have that you can just smell.
Yes. Yes, that's right. And whether you're talking about employment or what I tend to focus on, which is, you know, business development or sales, either way, you're right. You know, that desperation is not referable. You can smell it.
I had a young man a couple of years ago meet with me about something, and you know, my first meeting was this guy is just, there's something not quite right. You could sense it and feel it. And then I had a friend come to the next meeting and said that she was did some work for me. I said, I just want your take on this young man. And she agreed and concurred with me. And it was so interesting how he just was so in love with himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it was such a big turnoff for me. And I eventually talked with his boss and just said, you know what, I think it's best if I deal with you directly. I'm not going to go through this young man anymore.
Yeah.
He brought it to the end, and he was let go, and he sent me an email about a year later saying, I realized how desperate I was, and I'm so sorry, but I really was hungry to make a good impression. But it can work against you.
Oh, it absolutely can work against you. And there are four types of what I call desperate networkers that I'd love to touch upon here if we have time.
Yes, please do.
One is what I call the card dealer. This is a person that kind of goes around the room and passes out cards like they're at the blackjack table, you know. And what's interesting about these people is they tend to have a network that's a mile wide but an inch deep. They never go deep with some of the connections they have to really build relationships and to do business with one another. So, and this is the, one of the most visible ones to me, is you see them going to networking meetings, and they're looking to sell, not to build relationships. The second one I find really, really frustrating. It's called, I call him the space violator. You know, this is the guy that thinks the closer he gets when he's talking to you, the more you'll be interested in what he has to say. When, in fact, it's the opposite that's true. And nothing worse is to have a space violator that, you know, needs to have breath mints. that's like the worst.
Yeah, the worst.
And, you know, there's actually been a lot of research done on this in the field of proxemics. And scientists have actually measured the distance that people stand between one another. And in North America, and it varies from certainly continent to continent, sometimes country to country, but in North America, it's basically at arm's length. That if you're at arm's length, you're at about the right distance. Now, what's interesting is that two women tend to stand a little closer to each other than a man and a woman, and two men stand the furthest away from each other. And we're talking about, you know, portions of an inch or two, so not a big difference. So on average, it's about arm's length. The third kind of person is what I call a person who's guilty of premature solicitation, which you don't want to say fast three times; it'll get you in trouble. And this is the person. This is the person who will ask for the sale without asking you any questions about you. Or you know what you need and what you're looking for. He's just going for the sale. And there's this old expression, it never hurts to ask. That's totally wrong. It does hurt to ask if you don't have any connection or relationship with the person. And the fourth type of desperate networker is someone I call the new best friend.
Oh,
you don't
yes.
see this a lot, but you do see it more and more, especially
yes.
through social media. And it's the overeager seller who calls, who emails, who does social media messages, all within the space of a few days. I had a guy once, he did all of those things, and where I finally said, okay, you got to stop contacting me, is when he sent me an email saying, I really feel like I'm your son, you know? There's so much that I can, I'm like, okay, look, we don't even know each other.
That's pretty scary. That's a real scary thing. You know, I do this summit. I talk for people that want to get on the radio, and I do it a few times a year. And one of the things that I say, and I love this, and I'm going to have all of them look at your website and your materials and your books, because you're making tremendous sense. But I tell them, you know, it's one thing to be pleasantly persistent. It's another thing to be stalking. And there's that fine line. There's that fine line. And to be pleasantly persistent is an art. It does not just happen. It's an art form.
It is an art form, and it's complicated. You know, you can't just be constantly contacting people, but you have to try and create that connection. One of the things I teach, we talk about this in a book I just wrote called Avoiding the Networking Disconnect. We call it the 24/7/30 follow-up system. Within 24 hours, send them a note. Hey, it's really nice meeting you the other day. Thank you. It was great having a conversation. Handwritten note, unbelievable. Nobody does those anymore. But an email, if nothing else. Within 7 days, connect with them on social media. Just, you know, connect with them. Respond to some of their posts. The ones that you find interesting, you know what I mean? If you have something to add that you can start to build a relationship. Within 30 days, 24/7/30, within 30 days, reach out to them and say, I'd love to get together and learn more about what you do, see if there's any opportunities for me to possibly help you, and maybe you can learn a little about what I do. And that's a real subtle but fairly direct way of trying to make contact with somebody after you've met them somewhere.
Absolutely. I love those. Those tips are so valuable. When you meet someone, though, that you really feel like you could do some business or there could be this connection, when you say the premature solicitor. Tell me a little bit more. How soon do you want us to follow up? How soon is it to pick up the phone? I know you're talking about emails and thank you cards and all that, but how soon is it to pick up the phone?
I think that within that 30 days, you want to make that phone call to set up an appointment. You can do it through email, but the phone call is even better. Now, that's on average. It may vary. You see, if you can find a way to help someone, the quicker you can find a way to help someone, the quicker you have a connection where you can pick up that phone and they'll take your call. And I give you a great example briefly. I was at an event once where I was talking to somebody, learning about what they did. I have a lot of questions that I like to ask to get them to open up. A good networker has two ears, one mouth, should use them both proportionately. It's like this interview. You're asking me questions. You're letting me elaborate. That's a good networker. So once they elaborate, then you should ask them, so what are some of the challenges that you have in this business? And this is after they've talked a while. And when they give you a challenge that you think you might be able to help them on, refer them to somebody. I was doing this at an event a few years ago with somebody who needed to set up his own charity, but he didn't have enough money, and I recommended him to a community foundation, which you don't need a lot of money, but yet you have what looks like your own foundation.
Hey, we're out of time, but we would love to have you back, Dr. Ivan Meisner. BNI.
IvanMeisner.com is one of my websites, and BNI.com.
BNI.com. It's such a pleasure. Thanks so much for being with us. We'd love to have you back. And we will be right back in just a moment. Frankie Boyer, stay tuned, Biz Talk Radio.
The future of holistic health is here. Possessing the power to maintain wellness at the cellular level, RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable new supplement that will transform the future of preventative and restorative health. RegActive features the innovative probiotic strain ME3, a patented probiotic with over 20 years of research proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. Glutathione is used by all of our cells, especially in the fight against free radicals, environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Our levels of glutathione decrease dramatically as we age, leaving us very vulnerable to age-related health issues. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
This is Frankie Boyer. Joining me today is Keith Morey from Super Good Stuff. Keith, welcome. It's nice to have you with us. There is a formula that you have created. You make products that make us function better in the world, and one of them is neuromuscular support. What exactly is this product?
It's really basic. It's daisy flowers, grape leaves, and olive pit fractions. Nothing you've ever heard of. But for tight shoulders, lower back, any discomfort dealing with muscle tension, it's amazing. And it works 10 or 12 minutes. But it is absolutely fabulous. If it doesn't work for you, if you don't like it, we'll give you your money back.
That's neuromuscular support, and you can find this in all of the products at supergoodstuff.com, or you can call 949-651-6355. That's 949-651-6355. This is Frankie Boyer with Keith Morey.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Biz Talk Radio.
And welcome back. It is Frankie Boyer. Joining us now on Biz Talk Radio is Dr. David Palma. He's an MD and a PhD and a radiation oncologist specializing in lung cancer, head and neck cancer, and metastatic cancer. He's published more than 100 different scientific articles. His new book is out. It's called Taking Charge of Cancer. But this is different than the regular cancer books, and it's nice to have you with us, Doctor.
Hi, Frankie. Nice to be with you.
So, no one wants to hear those words. One of my dearest friends in life was just told he has cancer, and I mean, you know, it's jarring. It's shocking. It's unbelievable what the emotions that we go through.
Absolutely. And it sort of takes our focus away from our day-to-day activities, and all of a sudden everything becomes high priority and we're worried about ourselves and our family. And it's interesting that you point this out, because the reason I wrote this book, Taking Charge of Cancer, is because my own best friend was diagnosed with cancer 3 years ago. We're in our 30s, and it came as a shock. And what we did when he was diagnosed is, well, we noticed that a lot of the patient materials that are out there, they tell you about your type of cancer and the types of treatments available, but they don't really tell you how to make sure that you're getting good quality treatment, and that can make a big difference. Mm. So my friend and I took a series of steps to make sure he was getting high quality treatment, and he said to me, you know, this should really be a guidebook, because anybody can do this with the right coaching.
I think you're absolutely right, because each cancer is different, and you get overwhelmed with the appointments, and you're given so much information.
Absolutely. And we know, sorry, go ahead, finish.
No, I was going to say, and you're expected to make decisions that are life-changing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so what I say to people, and the doctor from Harvard who wrote the foreword to the book, what we say in the book is that there's no immediate urgency. You don't have to make a decision the same day, and there's time to really inform yourself and consider your options. But you're right. We don't do a very good job as doctors of informing patients and making sure that patients really understand what's going on. There was a study that came out of the U.S. a few years ago, and they asked patients who were getting chemotherapy, they said to the patients, what is the goal of your chemotherapy? But the patients that they asked, all of them were getting chemotherapy meant to slow down the cancer, not to cure it. In some cases, that is the goal of the chemo. So when they asked these patients who were receiving chemo just to slow down the cancers, when they said, what's the goal of the chemo? 3/4 of them believed that the chemo was intended to actually cure the cancer. And that's alarming. It suggests that we're not conveying even the basics, the goals of treatment. How can you make decisions about if you want treatment and the risks and benefits, and how can you make plans for your life if you don't really even know if the goal is for cure, where you would live out the rest of your life, or if the goal is to slow things down, and unfortunately you wouldn't, you know, live out your whole life.
Right, right. And it's the same thing with radiation. A lot of I get a little annoyed because there, you know, the scale about radiation, in my opinion, isn't really quite equal yet. And a lot of doctors are recommending radiation, and yet a lot of times it's unnecessary or it's more damaging. And I know of people that have been burnt, and the ramifications, no one talks about that either.
Absolutely. So every treatment, you know, has its role, and it has its risks, and it has its benefits. And what I try to do in this book, Taking Charge of Cancer, is to tell patients where to go to look and see, wait a second, for this type of cancer, yes, radiation is standardly offered. So there are places that people can go to see what the standard recommendations are for that type of cancer, and to ask the questions, if I take this radiation in addition to whatever else I'm doing, how much additional benefit do I get? What are the common risks? What are the uncommon risks? It's important to make an informed decision. You know, I think one thing that we've realized is that medicine 20, 30 years ago used to be very paternalistic, where patients were expected to come and be good patients and do what they're told and listen and just take the treatment that's recommended. But we've moved away from that. Our society is totally different. I like to think that medicine has changed. And what I say to my patients is that I say to them, you're the driver and I'm the navigator. I can tell you to turn right or turn left, but you make the decision. And regardless of the decision you make, I'll still be your doctor. I'll take care of you. But you are in the driver's seat. Because some patients, they want the most aggressive treatment possible, even if some of the benefits are small. They might want to take chemotherapy for a very, very small benefit. Maybe they're a younger patient, they have small kids, they just want to do everything possible. Other patients, they want to focus on quality of life. And our job as doctors is to make sure that we strike the right balance for each patient. But this book, what it does is it gets patients to ask specifically the questions that are important to them around those issues.
So when you get the diagnosis, tell us what the first few steps should be. And by the way, if you are newly diagnosed or if you know of someone, this book may be that roadmap for you. It's called Taking Charge of Cancer, What You Need to Know to Get the Best Treatment. So doctor, tell us, in your opinion, first 10 days out, what should we have done?
The most important thing is to have an understanding of your situation. And it's more than just asking your doctor, what kind of cancer do I have and what is the stage of the cancer? Those are common questions we get. The stage tells us how far the cancer is spread. But what I'm recommending in this book is that patients go a step further and they really understand their situation by obtaining copies of their scan reports and of their biopsy, where they take a sample of the specimen. And then with that information and the tools in the book, really understand, what type of cancer do I have? What is the stage really? Are there any uncertainties around here that we need to follow up on? And then when they're getting recommendations from their doctor, to double check with national U.S. guidelines. So if you have prostate cancer, for example, there are several different treatment options, but often patients aren't given all of those options. And so what we're trying to do is empower patients to say to the doctor, well, listen, the national guidelines suggest that maybe in my situation, the prostate cancer can be treated with surgery or radiation or sometimes even observation. We know that a lot of men aren't getting all those options. So we're really asking patients to take charge, take an onus for making the decisions, and be an equal partner with their doctors.
I love that. One of the other things that I went crazy the other day, I had a guest on that said it really doesn't matter what you eat, but I disagree. I think when it comes to cancer, food is a major piece of this story.
There's a lot of debate out there, and the evidence is still coming in, and it's limited right now. We know that some foods can help prevent cancer, and we know that in some situations that certain diets might help in very select situations of keeping a cancer away. For breast cancer, for example, certain diets can help to reduce the risk of the cancer coming back, but we're really just learning about those, and some of the studies of diets have not shown a whole lot of a difference. But then we see some extreme things that people are being recommended that really haven't been shown to do anything. So some of my patients go on really, really extreme diets, thinking that if you cut out all your sugar or if you do things like take a lot of baking soda, it might make a difference. Those kind of things haven't yet been proven. So in the book, we talk about how to decipher what is really good advice and what is not so good.
Well, I don't know about the sugar, because I've always been told that sugar, the cancer loves sugar, so who knows what's true about that. Doctor, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much. What's the best website, and how can people find out more about the work you're doing? And congratulations on taking charge of cancer, what you need to know to get the best treatment.
Well, thanks very much. So the website that I run is called qualitycancertreatment.com, but the book is available through most major realtors like retailers like Amazon and Walmart.
Awesome.
And Target on their websites.
Thank you so much,
Thank you,
Doctor. We'll be right back. Frankie Boyer.
This is Ellie Cullen, registered nurse and founder of Your Future Health, a company that offers blood tests for disease prevention that allows you to take control of your health. Recently, Fox and NBC News featured Judy, one of our clients, who used our system to detect pancreatic cancer at its earliest stage, which she says saved her life.
I found the tumor from one of the deadliest cancers, even before I had any symptoms, thanks to Your Future Health. Finding this deadly cancer so early enabled my doctor to remove it before it spread. That was 2 years ago, and today I enjoy excellent health. I hope everyone who hears my testimony will be called to action to test with Your Future Health. And I know as a nurse, if you wait until you have symptoms with pancreatic cancer, it is often too late. Having this test done early saved my life.
Call Your Future Health at 877-468-6934 or visit yourfuturehealth.com.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. That's 888-904-1986.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Hey, travelers. Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769.
Biz Talk Radio.
And welcome back. It's Frankie Boyer, Biz Talk Radio. We now are joined by Marissa Landergan, and the book is called The Vegetarian's Guide to Eating Meat, A Young Woman's Search for Ethical Food. And very controversial because, you know, it's so interesting, your journey of being a vegetarian, a vegan, and welcome. It's nice to have you with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Frankie.
So tell us your story.
Well, basically, when I was in college, I decided to become a vegetarian because for the first time, I really saw how food was produced in the United States. I grew up in the suburbs, and I had really never seen a farm until I went to college and saw a video about factory farming. And I was just horrified by the conditions in which the animals were raised, and so I decided to become a vegetarian in order to boycott that system. And then basically over the course of the next 7 years, I discovered that the food system just wasn't so black and white, where eating meat was always going to be bad or problematic, and being a vegetarian was always going to be ethically superior. And so I returned to eating meat actually as a way to participate more in a sort of more ethical, small-scale, sustainable food system.
But the kinds of meat, tell us about the kinds of meat that you're eating.
Yes, absolutely. I think where the meat comes from and the way in which it is raised is mm-hmm. really what's key here. And what I discovered is that simply not all meat is created equal, that there are many vegetarian meat alternatives that can have a devastating environmental impact, and that there are many ways to raise livestock animals that can actually be really a part of a sort of biodynamic farming system, one wherein all of the sort of inputs come from the animals on the farm, and the animals are contributing to a more sustainable way of producing food.
Mm-hmm. There's also the point which I want to make, which I'm a vegetarian, but I do fish oils and I do take B vitamins, and I understand that I need my nutrients from those vitamins, even though many of them do come from animal source, but I choose not to eat the animals, but I choose to take the vitamins to help me sustain my own health and my own health genes and to the way that I practice epigenetics. But I also feel very comfortable doing that. I don't have a problem with it. But there are people still to this day look at me like, well, what can you eat? Because I'm also gluten-free. And so it becomes, you know, people get a little overwhelmed with, well, what do you eat for crying out loud? Well, believe me, I have the world available to me. There is never a problem in my refrigerator right now are the most beautiful fruits and vegetables you could ever think of, every color under the sun. I also, you know, I don't have a problem finding anything to eat. So I just think it's so interesting that people really do not quite understand the choices and how personal these choices are.
Yes, absolutely. So many people have these sort of ideas that it's just automatically always going to be healthier to be a vegetarian, or it's always automatically going to be more environmentally friendly. And the truth is, it's just not that simple, right? There are many ethical and healthy ways to be a vegetarian, and there are also ethical and healthy ways to incorporate meat into your diet. And I think really the key is, as you said, right now, it's easy to see this time of year. And the key really is just getting closer to the source of your food and finding a way to buy whole, natural foods as close to the source as possible. The food is always going to be better that way, and it's almost always going to be better for you and better for the planet.
Yes. But I also want people to understand that, you know, having a vegetarian meal throughout the week or having a few of them is such a great option on many levels. Can you share with us how that relates to the economy, to the environment, and all of those factors?
Absolutely. One of the great things about spending 7 years as a vegetarian is that even once I did go back to eating meat, it really helped me reframe the way I thought about my meals. You know, I think the sort of stereotypical American meal is really, you know, a serving of meat and a serving of some sort of carbohydrate, and then, you know, maybe a side of vegetables of some kind. And being vegetarian really helps you rethink how to sort of frame that meal, how to make, you know, vegetables and protein from non-meat sources the center of your plate, and things like meat or starches can kind of become garnishes, so that even now I'm happy to go a meal or even a day without eating any meat.
Are you there? Did I lose her? I think I lost her. She dropped. Okay. Well, I think that I think that everyone has their own personal reasons to becoming a vegetarian, and for many of us, and you know, I'll just quickly share my story. I was exposed to I lived outside of Boston. I grew up outside of Boston in a seaside community, and my mother won a turkey at Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving time, a real life turkey, and she came home with this turkey. And I was so excited. Oh, my gosh. I was just a little kid, and I was so excited to have this turkey in the house. And the dog loved the turkey. Our little dog, Spotty, a little black and white mixed breed, just loved the turkey. And they were playing, and there were days. We had this turkey for days. And it was so much fun. And I became very attached to the turkey. And then one day I woke up and the turkey was gone. And as we were eating Thanksgiving that year, my late brother made a comment saying, "You just ate Tom." And I just remember the horror in my face and in I started to cry and I was so upset. And of course my folks reassured me, no, you didn't eat Tom. But even as a child, I realized that even if I didn't eat the turkey that had lived with us, the fact is that I started to get this connection to an animal, and that stayed with me my entire life. And I have been a vegetarian more years as a vegetarian than not. And so it stayed with me, and it started very early in my life. Now, I don't feel denied in any way, shape, or form. And at this point, I was a pescatarian. I was eating fish, and I did eat fish for many years. And then I became very disturbed about the issues connected to the ocean. And I felt that I didn't feel comfortable eating the fish anymore. I just didn't feel comfortable eating fish. And I cannot even stand the smell of fish today. And it just makes me sick. And I really can't stand the smell of a lot of meats. Certain meats that are just like, oh, gosh, get me out of here. But I would never, ever say to anyone, do not eat meat. These are my personal beliefs. This is my belief system. And we all have to be accountable to ourselves. And I have grown to love vegetables. And so the basic premise of my existence are my vegetables. And I do eat eggs and I do eat cheese. So I'm at this point, a lacto-ovo-vegetarian. I did the fish for several years, and then I went back to just being a lacto-ovo-vegetarian. But when I took a job, I will tell you, about 40 years ago, I took a job at a very prestigious publication, and I felt very pressured into eating fish. It's when I decided to start putting fish back into my diet, because I was really made fun of, and I was bullied, and it was a really terrible situation, and the corporate office, and I mean, it was tough. So I started reluctantly to eat a few kinds of fish, but that didn't last very long for me. It just never felt quite right, and then I did a couple of segments about fish, and as I said, that was the end of that. Went back to being a lacto-ovo vegetarian. But I do enjoy a good, and if you're at a cookout, I have, you know, really good veggie burgers, and I do have really great hot dogs that are made with healthy ingredients, not some of the junk ones that are out there. I'm very particular about what I put in my body, and nothing processed, no GMOs and all that stuff. So, but anyway, her book, Marissa's book, is available wherever books are sold. It's called The Vegetarian's Guide to Eating Meat, A Young Woman's Search for Ethical Food. And it's available wherever books are sold. And we will be back in just a moment. This is Frankie Boyer. You are listening to us on Biz Talk Radio. That's biztalkradio.com.
My husband loves sugar.
Love it!
But it's so bad for him.
Don't care!
I've tried to get him to use artificial sweeteners, but he says he can taste the difference.
Yeah, because I can.
That's why I replaced the sugar in our house with Xylosweet.
And I... Wait, you did what?
Xylosweet is not an artificial sweetener. It contains all-natural xylitol and nothing else.
But it tastes just like sugar.
And it tastes just like sugar.
I've been eating something good for me?
Xylosweet has 40% fewer calories than sugar.
So you have noticed I've been looking thinner.
And Xylosweet is great for everybody, safe for people with sugar-restricted diets and people of all ages. My kids love it. And unlike sugar, Xylosweet may actually help reduce the risk of tooth decay.
Is that why my teeth have felt so great lately?
Yes. And because I replaced your toothpaste with Spry Xylitol toothpaste.
Oh. You're like a super spy.
You can find Xylosweet at fine health food retailers near you. To find your closest location, visit clear.com. That's XLEAR.com.
Have you heard about Biz TV? Biz TV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching Biz TV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, Biz TV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. Biz TV is for those who want to succeed. Visit biztv.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request Biz TV.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
Biz Talk Radio.
And welcome back. It is Frankie Boyer, and this is Biz Talk Radio. And my next guest is such a fascinating combination of, gosh, he is an artist, a musician, a freelance journalist. Has interviewed some of the most fascinating people in this world, Pulitzer Prize winners and noted actors and directors. And he has a brand new novel getting fabulous reviews. Absolutely, it's called The Fabrications. And Barrett Magrian is with us today. And it's a pleasure, Barrett. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, what do you do in your spare time? when you're not playing the piano and you're not creating and all of that. Oh my gosh.
It sounds much better than it is, probably, you know, because like when you put all these activities together, it sounds really, you know, impressive. But actually, to be honest, I have there's a lot of moments when I'm just, you know, meditating and thinking and stuff like that. I'm not one of these people who's constantly active. On the contrary, I'm very, very lazy, actually. But I try to summon up the energy to kind of occasionally write something and create something that's, you know, worthwhile. But a lot of creativity is kind of also passive, you know. It's not necessarily doing stuff all the time.
You're getting absolute rave reviews from very, very wonderful, wonderful reviewers in Kirkuson. I mean, you're just getting the Florence News. Your debut novel is just taking this world by storm. Tell us about The Fabrications.
It's a fairly kind of ambitious and complex book, but it's essentially about a man who journeys from complete anonymity, and he's kind of invisible, and he moves from that state to one of great fame. So the basic arc of the story is quite a strong one, because there's this guy who goes on a journey from, he starts being a cinema projectionist, which is a very, as you can imagine, it's a very, you know, invisible job, and then he becomes essentially a messiah, you know, like a kind of Jesus Christ figure. During the journey, he meets various media figures who kind of manipulate and precipitate the journey for him. And so it's a book about the contemporary scene, and it's about the media, it's about fame. But it's also a book about other things like love and relationships and more poetic kind of issues as well.
So how did the book come about? Is this something that you had always, an idea that you had always wanted to write about, or is it something that just happened?
No,
Oh, did we lose him too? Did we lose Barrett? Barrett, are you there? Okay, I don't know where he went, but the book is really getting, I'm telling you, really impressive reviews. They say it's inventive, it's a comic novel centered on a bizarre idea, and if someone's fictional story about your life started to come true. And so it sounds like it's quite a book, but the reviews, again, sparkling, darkly humorous novel, brilliant achievement, the novel aims high, you know, it just is getting all of these. Satire is spot on. Wonderful reviews. And so we wish Barrett tremendous success. And by the way, he's worked as a translator, fringe theater director, nude model. He's had quite the career all over this world, and lives all over, which is so great. I mean, I just love that he did that and he does that. So do make sure you pick up. Oh, Barrett, you're back. Okay, good.
I don't know what happened. I just got cut off for some reason. Sorry about that. But as I was saying, I wanted to write a book that was kind of funny, but also quite serious and quite dramatic and tragic. So I was trying to do a lot of different things, you know.
As your career and your background dictates, of course. Why would you not do that in a book? So now that you have this book under your belt, what's next for you, Barrett?
Well, I'd just like to really promote the book, you know, and try and make it into success. And then I'm hoping just to focus on other projects and other writing ideas. And I've got a second novel now, which is, I'm about halfway into that, and I'm trying to finish that. And I just want to keep on writing and you know, kind of reaching people, reaching the audience and readership, and creating something that's meaningful for people.
Sure. That makes sense. That makes sense. Where are you off to now to promote the book? It's a worldwide tour?
No, nothing so ambitious. I don't think it's going to be that, you know, spectacular. But I've been doing things in Europe, in London, and in Florence, Italy, where I currently live. I don't know if you know that, but so I've been doing stuff there, and I'm hoping to come to the States soon as well and do some promotion on the novel there as well.
Oh yes, Florence is such a beautiful city too.
Have
I'm
you
envious.
Been?
Yes, I have. I have, absolutely. Yes. It's a pretty special place.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. And so the Fabrications, plural, what's the best website? How can people find out more about you and the book?
I'm on www.barrett, B-A-R-E-T, Magarian, magarian.com. And that's my website. There's also the Fabrications Facebook page. And you can read the reviews online, the Seattle Book Review, Kirkus, San Francisco Book Review, for example.
Barrett, I have to say that I've never seen a first novel get the amount of rave reviews as this one has. Pretty impressive.
Oh, really? Oh, that's really kind.
Yeah,
of you.
Very impressive, yeah. Thank
That's
you so much
sweet.
For being with us, and congratulations on the Fabrications. And we will be back next time. This has been another edition of the Frankie Boyer Show. Check out frankieboyer.com, and do check out the app. We have one right here at Biz Talk Radio. It's under Biz Talk Radio, and it's a free app that you can download, and so you can listen to shows all day long. Make it a great day, and as always, smile.
Smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by if you smile.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.